We've already got three houses. Do people know Taylor was trying to put up our house? No. No, only because I can't fit you all in my house. Our house. Anyway. I think Taylor's now cooking dessert at Sky and Pete's house, so she scored well on that one. Oh, and my mum and Nona. Oh, there you go. You did well on that one. Welcome to C3 Stand, everybody. Welcome to our visitors that are here. We've had so many things going on in these last couple of months. I think we went from like conference to then Father's Day. I think, we had conference and then we had an all-in and then we had Father's Day. So it was just like bang, 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 bang. And in between all that, we've sort of like mentioned, we've got our new chairs. And then we mentioned, we had the cafe. But I just want us to sort of, and then the visitors' lounge. There's so many things every week. There's like something going on. So I just really wanted us to, they're surface things. But they're things that a couple of weeks ago when I asked everybody to stand, that's so funny, when I asked everybody to stand for conference, if you were a part of conference, volunteered in conference or anything like that, it was most of you. And most of you, unless you were really visiting. And you all looked at each other. And it was when Vicky said that she was asked how the conference would go, the one thing that she loved saying was the buy-in of the church was amazing. And when you look at how many people actually stood and were a part of it, that's what it was. It was the buy-in of each of you. And it wasn't for someone other than Jesus. It wasn't for someone. You weren't serving people or pastors, or we were serving each other. And that's what was so amazing when we looked at each other and we're like, we were all a part of something so special together. And I think it was last year, I can't remember, it could have been this year, when we all stood up and we said, okay, we're going to do some pledges and we're going to consolidate everything, do some renovations. And I just want to stand up here and on behalf of us and each other, again, say thank you. We had... Board meetings are so boring, I'll be honest, I don't like them. But anyway, I have to do them. But we were able to talk about everything that we've done and everything we achieved and everything that we set out to do, and we've been doing it. And it's all because of the buy-in of everybody. So if you were someone that signed up for pledges and you have been doing that, thank you. You've been putting into this place, and it's not just finances, but it's yourself. So I just want to say thank you. We will be formally saying we are doing an AGM. I think it's on the 2nd of November. And we will be, for last year, which is again boring. But anyway, we will be talking about future plans and everything that we're doing future. So that's exciting. So I just want to again just say thank you. Thank you that we're doing this together. Thank you that we're serving each other. And thank you that for the buy-in. And when we look around, could open this cafe and how many future things for this cafe, whether it's going to be open during the week and so many things that we can now do. Who's loving and coming in and being able to get in coffee? In the morning, before service, after service, smells lovely, Leanne said. Smells lovely. It's beautiful. So it's us creating the community together. So anyway, I just wanted to spend a little bit of a moment just to say thank you, because we're going from one week to the next week to the next week, and just to say thank you. Thank you for contributing. Thank you for being a part of it. Thank you for everybody that's been here painting, that's been here doing it up, that's just giving of yourself, whatever capacity you've been giving of yourself, and just showing up, because that's what we do for each other. We just show up, and that's what we keep doing regardless of even Michaela standing up here and saying how tired you are. But you keep showing up, because that's what we keep doing, is we keep showing up. We have a newborn 2 months. I ask how she's doing. The second month is better. And you're going, well, if your second month is better, that's amazing. Sorry, you're new, sorry. But you keep showing up. That's what happens. You're tired, but you keep showing up. So I just want to say thank you. No matter what you're going through, you keep showing up for each other, yourselves, for us, being together. Anyway, so On the second, we're going to be doing some exciting things that are going forward in C3 Stand. And there's one thing that I want to announce now. Elton turned 50. So Jubilee year, we're all excited. We sung him last year. We're not going to sing him again. But Jubilee year is new beginnings. He starts a new job tomorrow. And that job is 4 days a week. And one day he's going to be working for the church, which is Fridays. So that has been in the plan since we transitioned a couple of years ago. So if you want to meet with him, you want to speak to him, Fridays is your best bet to meet with him. So it's not because he's been trying to do like after hours and up and down, and he's got long hours at his work. So now he has Fridays, he's going to be in here, he's going to be meeting with you, he's going to be in schools. We already have teachers' appreciations planned, and one of the schools wants us to do a breakfast program. So there's a lot of bunch of stuff that I already have lined up for him to do. Fishing is not one of them, okay? So if that's the plan, fishing is not one of them. If he could fish every single day with each of you, that's what he would do. He would fish. All right, guys, no, right? No. And I was thinking, because him changing his job, he had to get a new car, and it's all decked out to go fishing and four-wheel drive and all this other stuff. And I was thinking about fishing because he thinks that I've tricked him. Years ago, I used to do camping with him and I used to do fishing with him. I know how to fish. I grew up fishing. I'm Italian. We fished. It doesn't mean that I want to go fishing. But I did used to do all this sort of stuff. 20 years down the road of being married, you go, well, I don't have to anymore. He's got all of you to do it with. But I want to give you a little bit of my fishing experience of why I am the way I am. My mum won't like any of this. But so fishing for me was not a hobby. Fishing for me was we needed food. It was like Italians go fishing for food. Italians don't go fishing for a hobby, right? They don't. They go fishing to get food. So if you don't get food, if you don't get fish, it's not a good thing. And you go on what the Bible calls the fourth watch, between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. in the morning. That's not a good time to go fishing, according to me as a young girl. But that's the time that you go fishing, right? Then I'm a girl, so when I'd go to the jetty, I got handed the hand line because you wouldn't get a rod because that's for the boys and for the men. So I didn't get the rod unless there was a rod. I got the hand line. Then when you go to the beach, I wouldn't be able to handle a big rod at the beach. So then the beach always had to have really rough waves because that's where the tailors come in, right? So it was never nice beaches. They were rough beaches. So then my legs would be stinging because all the sand would be hitting on my legs. So then what do? You jump in the water. So then what happens when you jump in the water? The waves are so rough that you get dunked every 5 seconds. Then my hair's got all sand in it. I'm getting banged on the ground because my head was getting hit on the ground all the time because the waves, you just go along with the waves because there was always lots of waves. My mum lost jewelry in the because she'd come in with me. She lost jewelry in there. It'd be all times late at night and then it'd be windy as all heck. So, you know, you'd want to just go home. Then if it was on the rocks, you'd have to try and go as far as you can up. Otherwise, the waves are getting hit you with the waves on the rocks. So then you could almost get into the water. Anyway, this was my experience of fishing. No, not good, right? And all for what? To come home with smelly fish. So now when Elton goes fishing, I'm like, fillet them when you're at the beach. Don't come home with smelly fish. Because the guts stink. Anyway, so when I see water and rough water, I don't go to the beach at winter because I don't like seeing all the rough water. I think about all of this. I think about being in that water and being dunked. I mean, it's excessive, but that's what would happen, isn't it? It's the truth. I'm not lying. I'm not exaggerating, people. It's the truth, right? Yeah, I know, but I get to up here, right? So I'm trauma dumping on my fishing experience to you guys. There's a reason. Because when we look at, we're going into Matthew 14 when Jesus walked on water. And when we look at, and he came down to the disciples on the fourth hour, so it sort of all came in together, right? So when we look at the pictures of Jesus walking on water, some of the pictures, some you've got the waves, some pictures are quite glassy. You think, oh, it looked really pretty when Jesus walked on the water. But it wasn't. It was very, very stormy. They should have been dunked millions of times. But I'm going to read it, 14:22 to 33. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side. While he dismissed the crowd, after he had dismissed them, he went up on the mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone. The boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. So you think about how these waves were. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it is you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You have little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." There are a few points in this message this morning. And I brought up the story of the waves just because that was truly something I lived. And Peter walking on the water was something he lived. The title of this message is "I Lived It." So let's pray for this. Thank you, Father. I just thank you, God, for this message, Lord, that it is your words, that it is you. Thank you, God, that you will speak to each heart that's here this morning, Father, that you will meet them where they're at, God, and anything that you need to say to them, may it be clear, may it be with clarity, God, and may it be transforming, Father. May each leave here with something that has been spoken to them from you, God, that's transforming in their lives, that goes beyond themselves for others, God. In your name we pray. Amen. So we've been speaking for the first half of this year about transformation for ourselves, and the second half is transformation beyond self. So we were talking about how that transformation looks and how we should be apprentices of Jesus Christ, walking after him in everything that we do. We should be mirroring him, resembling him in what we do. And the first century disciples, the way they would follow their rabbi was they would mimic them, they would act like them, they would eat like them, they would talk like them, they would walk like them, they would, every breath they took, they were right by them. And that's how we should be with Jesus. And there's a saying that it says, may I be covered by the dust of my rabbi's sandals, meaning that I walk so close to them that not anything that they spoke would fall to the ground, that anything that they spoke I would capture, that nothing would fall to the ground, that I would capture everything that my master, everything that my rabbi, everything that my teacher would teach. Not sort of how we do it, that we pick up the word, we read it, we put it down, we get on with our lives, but it's like everything that Jesus taught, everything where he walked, everything that he did, our whole life journey. And it's not something that we know how to do now and then we just continue on doing it. It's a life journey that we're just mimicking and following after the heart of Jesus. What did he do? How did he speak? How did he eat? Everything about him that we are just mimicking, we're just trying to be, we're trying to emulate, we're trying to do everything according to what Jesus did. That's our lives. That's our journey. Then this second part of the year was, well, that's not just for us. The whole idea of what Jesus was for the sake of others and was for other people and was beyond ourselves. So transformation beyond us is like, how does the transformation that comes from my life, for all of you that know Elton and my story, it's complete transformation. And if you don't have complete transformation in your life, is the gospel actually something that's penetrated your heart and completely transformed you? Because if it hasn't, what is it doing? Are you just saved? Are you just saved to go to heaven? Or are you saved to do what the gospel's intended, is to actually build the kingdom through you as vessels for Christ? Our lives have been completely changed. If you ask anyone that knew us, they wouldn't know us. That's how you know that Jesus has been effective in his life through your life, if your life has changed from knowing him. So we see this story with Peter, and we normally hear it. You may have heard it differently, but when I've heard it, it's normally eyes are on Jesus. Peter sees the wind and the storm. Eyes are sort of off Jesus. He starts to sink. You have little faith. You doubted. Why did you doubt? Our eyes need to be on Jesus. Our eyes need to stay on Jesus, and that's where it needs to be, which is all true, right? Needs to be. I want to flip it a little bit this morning. If he's the only one that lived it, are we spectators? Because there was 11 that stayed in the boat. He was the only one that jumped out the boat to walk. And we can pick on the fact that he got so close and then his eyes dropped. Jesus caught him. But he's the one who jumped out. There was 11 that stayed in the boat. So I've got 3 points to this story. I don't usually have points. Taylor would be really proud of me, but I didn't put them on the screen. But anyway. There was one that could speak. I lived it. I walked on the water with Jesus. I may have not gotten it right. I may have gotten dunked a few times. But I lived it. And then there was 11 spectators that stayed in the boat. Not saying that they did anything wrong. I'm not saying either one is wrong. I'm just saying let's flip it a little bit. Because sometimes we can keep it safe and stay in the boat because we don't want to fail when we're out in the water. So verse 22, the first one. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat. He made the disciples get into the boat. So he made the disciples get into the boat, into the storm. So he knew the storm was coming, but he made the disciples get into the boat together to go into the storm. So sometimes we actually wonder why we're going through a storm. So if you're going through a storm in this moment, rather than shooing it away, what does God want you to learn? What does God want you to know? What is God trying to teach you? All of it. Because he made them get in the boat. And he made them get into the boat together. And he didn't say, I'm going to make you get in the boat together and I'm going to come rescue you straight away. He didn't say that either. He made them get into the boat. And then he went to the mountain. So he was trying to already go spend time alone because he had found out that his cousin John the Baptist had been beheaded. Then the multitude went and followed him. Then he fed them, and then he sent the disciples away and then went to the mountain. This mountain, the way it's situated, and I think it's in Mark 16, I think written somewhere, Mark 16, something 48. But anyway, it says in there that they were seen to struggle with the oars. So it actually shows that where this mountain was situated, Jesus saw them. But he still didn't go to them. So he could see them. So even though they didn't see him, he saw them. So when you don't think Jesus sees you and you're in your storm and you're struggling and you think that it's an enemy's thing and the enemy's, there's opposition, there is opposition. So I'm not saying everything that Jesus has sent you out into, but in this case, and it could be in your case, Jesus sends them out. And he sees them, he still doesn't go to them. But he can see them, and he sees them struggling. But what it shows us in this time is that they're actually struggling together. So he brings them together. Now, we've spoken in the past, not long ago, about the differences with them. about how they were completely different people and how one would have murdered the other one and all sorts of things like that, but they were together. And sometimes the people that we, well, the people, it's not sometimes, the people that we have in this church, that if you're planted in this church, we're meant to do life together. You may not always like each other. You may not always agree with each other, but we're in the boat together. And he puts us in the boat together. And he puts us in opposition together. And he says, go and do it together. And sometimes we think we could be sinking together because we go through hardship together. Right? Or when one goes through something, we go through it together. And we might not see eye to eye together, but we go through it together. And he says, I'm going to put you in the boat together. And you're going to go through a storm together. And you may not see me, but I see you. And I see you struggling. I will come, but I'm not going to come straight away. Because maybe there's something that you need to learn in that time. Because he says, I need you to get to the other side. So to get to the other side, we got to go through stuff. Because if we're not going through stuff here, we're not going to learn what we need to learn to get to the other side. So to get to the other side, we need to learn something. So we're in the boat together. Why are we in the boat together? We have no idea. We have no idea what's on the other side. We have no idea why he's placed each of us together in this church together. You have no idea why you're here. I have no idea why we're here. Why I'm here. Why we're here. I don't know. You don't know. But God knows. He knows what other side is. We don't know what the other side is. We can all have a prophetic word. We can all get a word. But we still don't know. He gives us insight, but we still don't know. We still don't know. There, Mark 6:48, he says, straining at the oars. So he comes to them at the fourth watch, same time I used to have to go fishing, 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. You can imagine how exhausted they would have been by that time. Straining at the oars in a storm, not just this stuff. In an actual storm, trying to row, trying to get through. So together, they would have had to have worked hard together, whether they agreed or not. They were designed to work together, to get through to the storm together, to endure together, to row together. And his timing is what causes us to trust. The timing he comes, because whatever happened before that, because we actually don't know what happened before that. But his timing causes us to trust. Number two, shortly before dawn, verse 25, shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came to Jesus. Not normal. It's not normal. I wonder if Peter thought in that moment, yes, I'm about to step on the water and it's about to be solid. Like, I wonder, did he think that? I don't know, right? We can't comprehend it. We have finite minds. We can't comprehend it. And each one of us will try and comprehend that. But we can't. We can't. We have an unlimited God, an infinite God. We are limited creatures. We can't comprehend it. In Jewish writings, the sea, large things of water, was called the abyss. So it's known for darkness, for evil, for danger. So Jewish people were pretty scared of water. So the Philistines were known as coastal people. Jewish people were known as like land desert people, right? So this is not normal for them to be on the water and for them just to think, I'm okay. It's okay. The Sea of Galilee, it was a lake, but it was big. So it was like, it was 21 k's long, 11 k's wide, and 43 meters deep. That's just the measurements. I don't really know, but that's the measurements of it. So it was big, right? And in Genesis 1, it says that God brings order into this chaotic water, right? But it's still associated. The big waters and the big deep was still, in the Jewish writings, was still associated with danger, still associated with... It's so funny all of this is happening while this rain's happening. Isn't that funny? It brings the effects, right? But anyway, so it was associated with evil, associated with danger, associated with all of that. It was the word, the abyss, came with chaos. So the way, if we put that into context, Jesus was walking on the chaos. Then he tells Peter, come. So Peter's about to start walking on the chaos with Jesus. So you can imagine Peter getting out the boat, doesn't tell him how to do it. Sometimes you just get a simple word like yes. We had that whole series of the yes in yes. There's about 10 yeses in the one yes, if not more. You get come and you have no idea how. You'll get move and you have no idea how. You'll get go, you'll have no idea how. You'll have yes, you'll have no idea what that even means. So he said, come. I can't even imagine him stepping out of that boat, what it felt like, because the boat would have been rocky. This was a storm. This was not smooth. So he's trying to get out the boat. And I wonder if the other disciples were like, you are crazy, or if they admired him. I don't know. It didn't say, so we can all guess. We're not sure. But if we look at it like this, because it says, who is this that the wind and the waves obey him? This is chaos. This is darkness. This is chaos. This is danger. And this all obeys the name of Jesus. This all obeys Jesus. He's walking on the chaos. Now Peter steps out and is walking on the chaos with Jesus. We get to walk on our chaos with Jesus. He's walking with us on our chaos. We don't have to stand in our storm. We don't have to just walk it alone. He's walking it. This was not just representing water and, wow, this is a miracle, this is amazing. This was all representing something. When you go into the underneath, everything was representing something. He was walking on the chaos. They were scared of this. Then he comes and walks on the chaos with Jesus. When you're going through your storm, that's chaotic. When there's so many times I will ask you, each one, different people, how are you? Things have been chaotic. He walks on that with you. You get to walk on your chaoticness with him, your storm with him. So 11 stayed in the boat, one moved. 11 were spectators, 11 watched, one lived it. Imagine Peter looking back and going, I lived it. I went out and I stepped on that water with Jesus. Years down the track. So today, what is it that you're stepping out of the boat to do? And it could be practical, right? There's I'm going to name a few both, but something could come to your mind. So it could be a practical thing, like a job change, starting a business, starting study. It could be a shift inside yourself. Take up prayer every day, more in your word. Witness to that family member or colleague that God has been pointing out to you. It could be seeking help because no longer do you want to stay with what's going on in your mind. It could be saying sorry to someone that you don't want to. It could be asking for forgiveness. It could be forgiving someone. It could be forgiving yourself. It could be changing your lifestyle habits. Enough is enough. Whatever it is, you're stepping out of the boat and you're going, it's time to step out of the boat. Whatever that is. You're saying, I'm going to lock eyes with you, Jesus, and we're going to tread this water together. So number 3. Verse 30. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink. Cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said. Why did you doubt? And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. It's not if we fail, and it's not staying in the boat so we don't fail. It's getting out the boat knowing we probably will. But when we do, we fall in the right place and we know who to cry out to. That's the whole point. It's not the, he didn't have faith. He had, yes, it did say you have little faith, and it goes with, that's another sermon. But when you look at the longevity of it, it's not how much faith he had, it's the distance of it. Because you could be a Christian for a short time, you could be Christian for a very long time. It's not the amount, it's the longevity of it. So he walked to a certain point, and they thought he was a ghost, so it was quite a distance. It said they went quite out from the shore. So him walking, for Jesus to grab him, he walked a distance. He walked quite a distance on this water. The longevity of keeping your faith, the consistency in keeping your faith. Because we can get to a point and we go, I haven't seen you, yet it says he sees you, but I haven't seen you. I'm in this storm. So if we have a look at this, I haven't seen him. I'm in a storm. You're not really answering me. I'm out. When we have a look at this whole scripture in just one whole lump sum, Peter gets out in the storm. He's walking to him. Jesus sees them the whole time. He provides a way for him to walk to him. Then he grabs him. He sees you. He sees your storm. He's providing a way for you to walk to him. And when you feel like you can't do it, he's going to grab you. Just fall in the right place and cry out to him. That's all that means, because you don't know where you're falling. Cry out to him. Know who you're crying out to, because when you feel like you can't do it, he's going to grab you. When you're feeling like your legs are going to give way, he's going to grab you. Know that he sees you when you don't feel him. So when Peter began to see the wind, his eyes were on the chaos, because his eyes were on the chaos, which was the water, which was the wind, and he began to sink. Immediately, when he cried out, Jesus grabbed him. The text says from the boat they couldn't see Jesus, and they thought he was a ghost, and that was the distance. In John 21, when Jesus reappeared, so he had died and rose again, this is straight after Peter denies him. Soon as they revealed it's the Lord, says the one that Jesus loved, says to Peter, "This it's the Lord," he jumps out the boat again and runs to Jesus. I don't know how many of us would be sheepish going, "I just denied you. I think I'm going to be the one that stays in the boat this time." But he didn't. He jumped out the boat again. When the other one stayed in the boat and actually brought all the fish to the shore, he jumps out the boat again and runs to him again. What it shows us there is he goes, "I know you. I trust you. You grabbed me last time I fell. You're going to grab me again." And that's what he's going to do. Every single time we feel like we can't walk, we feel like we're going to fall, we feel like we just don't know how to do anything anymore, or we don't know the answer, or we don't know the direction, or we don't have the manual of how to step out the boat or how to walk on water, or we don't have that direction, we just don't know, but you say, "Come." You know what? You picked me up the last time. You're going to pick me up again. So I'm going to keep jumping out the boat and into the water. Because that's what Peter did. "I denied you, but I'm going to jump out the first time I see you again, because I know you're going to pick me up again, because I trust you, because I trust you." So some of us here beat ourselves up for getting it wrong, playing it safe, been hurt before, been there before. "Well, this is my truth, my worldview, so I'll stay in the boat or I'll be a spectator because it's safer." But it's not by our strength, it's by his grace. It's the fact that he picks us up. And for some of us, the boat is comfortable. For others, the boat is control. For some, it's familiar routines of life, even if they're not healthy and the boat feels safe. Peter, together with everyone, endured the storm for hours. Exhausted, afraid, with no manual, jumped out of the boat into the storm. Walked on the chaos that he was in. Didn't make sense. Took his eyes off Jesus and onto the chaos. Cried out to Jesus. Jesus picks him up. Denies Jesus, then when he first sees him again after that, jumps out the boat again, Jesus picks him up. The question is this morning, will you stay spectators or will you jump out the boat? And it looks different for all of us. We see everything that's going on in the world at the moment, everything that's going on in the world this week. And a part of, I was praying when I was in my prayer last night and I'm going, Lord, you give me a platform. I'm going to be very vulnerable here, very honest. You give me a platform. How do you want me to use it? And because we see everything that's going on. I'm pretty sure your social media is just as flooded as my social media. And everybody has an idea of how we should use our voice and what we should say and what we shouldn't say and everything like that. We are all God's children. We are all to love the person that's in front of us. This is not, we're going to argue with each other. We're going to fight. We got to be the loudest on social media. If social media is your jam, go for it. This is not me trying to say either one. But not all of us are called to be loud. Because I know some people that have gone, I don't speak on social media, am I wrong? I don't do this, am I wrong? Or I do this, am I wrong? No, we're all called in our own lane. As long as we're stepping out the boat and we're not staying in our boat because of safety reasons. We need to step out the boat that God's called us out of. We are not to be put into peer pressure because of what the world has told us to do. Or how the world has told us to be. I had a message a few weeks ago because someone has told me the date specifically of when Jesus is coming and told me that I had to tell all of you, otherwise all of your blood is on my hands. It was specifically to me. I get lots of different things. But this one was someone I knew, it was specifically to me. And all I can do is go, you know what? Our lamps need to be filled with oil. And we need to love one another, speak truth to one another, and build the kingdom. Everything we do needs to be a seed to grow God's kingdom, to love one another, to love each other, and to love whoever God's put in front of us. It doesn't mean we need to be the loudest on social media unless God has called that platform to you. You need to know that you need to step out the boat that you're in, that God has put you in to say step out of. So however that looks, whether that's practical, whether that's spiritual, however that looks, what is he asking you to step out to do? It is not about peer pressure. It is not about what the world is saying. It is about us growing his kingdom, partnering with him, and doing what he has asked us to do while we're in the boat together. Because most of Christians in the world are arguing with each other rather than building the kingdom. And we're meant to be building the kingdom. There has been so much loss in this week, and not just because of what we've seen on social media. Pete lost someone this week. We lost someone on Elton's birthday that we grew up with. There has been loss all over this place, not just on social media. We are to love each other, and everyone is a child of God. We're to love each other, come together, pray for each other and say, God, who do you want me to witness to? Who do you want me to minister to? Who do you want me to pray for? How do you want me to love that person? That's what we're supposed to do as Christians, and plant that seed of salvation and the kingdom of God into every single person that comes into our view. That is what we are supposed to do as people. That is what I felt like I needed to share with you today, rather than being silent. But also, social media is not my thing, as you all would know that, you would see that. But anyway, that is what I feel. So when Jesus came to Peter, he enabled it. So when he said, come, he enabled it. If he said, get out the boat to do this, he's going to enable it to happen for you. He will equip you. You don't need to say, okay, I'm going to make this happen because this is a good idea. God will tell you what to do, and then he will equip you to do it. He said, come. He equipped Peter to do it. He made the water solid. Peter had no idea how it was going to happen. these waters are going everywhere. The boat's going everywhere. But he made it happen after he said, come. We don't need to know everything. In fact, it's probably better we don't, because we wouldn't get out the boat if we knew. But he gives us one word, then we move. The storm you are in now, Jesus is with you. Even if you don't see him, he sees you. And don't give up in that last moment, because he's going to pick you up. If your legs give in, cry out to him. Step out and walk on your chaos with Jesus. You might not have all the instructions on how it will look, but step out. We won't always get it right. But when our eyes see the chaos, I'll grab the band up if I can. When our eyes see the chaos and our circumstances over Jesus, cry out to him. Don't change direction, just cry out to him, no matter how exhausted you are. So what is your chaos this morning that Jesus is asking you to walk on or to face or to step out? It could be stepping out and witnessing. It could be to that person, to your family member, to your colleague. It could be that. It could be something totally different. It could be studying something. It could be starting a new job. It could be something, whatever it is for you, what is it that Jesus is asking you to step out of the boat in? The disciples did not know what was on the other side. Like I said, neither do we. But we can look back and say, I stepped out, I did it, and I lived it. Rather than saying, you know what, I should have done that, but I just stayed in the boat and I watched. So our confidence, my confidence and our confidence should be in the fact that he's so close to us that he will catch us. That is all we need to know. That's all we need to know. That he is so close to us. We don't need to be placed into fear of what's going on around us. We just need to scream the name of Jesus. We need to speak the name of Jesus. We need to declare the name of Jesus. And we need to keep our lamps filled. That's what we need to do. And we need to speak his name. That's what we need to do. And if you are called to speak to people and you are called to evangelize, go jump out your boat. Go do it. We're all called to speak the name of Jesus, but there's different areas that people are called into. Whatever yours is, jump out the boat and do it. That's what we're called to do. Keep your lamps filled. And if you need to do something and God's calling you to do something or back to something, go back to that. If you've sort of dwindled along the way, go back to that. Find your way back to that. Find your way back to him. If you've missed spending time with him, find your way back to him. But at the same time, know that his grace is sufficient. He knows your life. He knows your world. He knows where you're at. This is not a practical thing. This is not a doing. This is not a task. This is not a routine. It's a bit like what Taylor said, I don't know if it was last week, talked about the will and the won't and the want. It's a difference in saying I will do something or I won't do something, compared to I want to do something. It's not a routine and it's not a task. It's I want to spend time with him. I want to pray. I want to be in the word. I want a relationship with you, Jesus. That's how we keep our lamps filled. And that's what we teach each other. That's what our lives mirror. We don't need to try to mirror him when we want a relationship with him. When we become apprentices of him and we want to mimic everything that he does and mirror everything that he does, we then, the next person that's with us goes, I want that relationship with Jesus. Then the next person that goes to that person, I want that relationship with Jesus. I don't need to prove to you I have a relationship with Jesus, because it oozes through me. That's what we do when we're disciples of Jesus Christ. So while you're all standing, and I'm telling you, we're going to get dunked along the way. And we're going to get sand in our hair and we're going to bang our heads along the way, probably with each other and with other people. and on the ground and wherever else. We're going to bang our heads and get filled with sand, but we can say, I lived it. So while your eyes are closed, if you go, you know what? I have walked away. And I want to rededicate my life to Jesus Christ this morning. Or I've never made that commitment to Jesus Christ, but I want Him as my Lord and Savior this morning. There's no better time, after everything we've been saying, there's no better moment than to say, I want Him as my Lord and Savior. I want Him Lord over my life. If that is you this morning, I want to rededicate my life. If that is you this morning, just raise your hand just so I can see it. I'll give one more moment. If you go, you know what, I want to rededicate my life, or I've never given my life. And for everyone here, we're all called to step out the boat. We're not called to be spectators, none of us. There are times for rest in that storm, I don't think it was. But we're all called to be together, we're all called to endure it together, we're all called to go through the storm to get to the other side together. But if you also could be going through a storm on your own to get to the other side, you're not alone. Know that He's with you. Know that He sees you. Know that He sees you struggling with your oars. He can see you struggling. He can see what you're going through. He's watching you, and He will come to you. It could be the fourth hour, but He will come to you. So right now, I'm just going to pray for you, but while ask God, what is it that He's asking you to step out of the boat to do? And make a commitment to Him this morning that that's what you're going to do. So thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, that right now all over this place that you are speaking to every single one up here on the stage and down on the floor, Father, or anyone that ends up listening, that you're speaking, God, to each one and saying, this is what I want you to do when you step out the boat. You will enable that to happen, Father. You will equip that to happen, Father. You will be with them on every moment, God. May they know that you are watching them, Father. May they know, Father, that you are never leaving them, God, that you see everything that they're going through, Father, that they know that you will come to them no matter if they don't feel you in the moment, if they don't see you in the moment, you will come to them, God, that they are assured and their confidence, God, is that no matter what happens and no matter what we do, Father, that you will pick us up, God. That you are there, Father, that we can trust you, that you will guide us, that you will pick us up when our legs fail, God, or when our eyes go sideways, Father. You will pick us up, Father, the moment we cry out to you. Teach us to cry out to you in those moments, God, not to be so full of pride that we don't know how to drop to our knees and cry to you, Father, but teach us, God, in those moments how to cry out to you, Lord. Teach us how to know when our legs are about to fail, God, not to go on a different path, God. Show us, God, teach us, Lord. Teach us who you are, Father, how to be disciples of you, Father, that we may be covered with your dust, Jesus, from your sandals, that we are so close, that nothing that you say will drop to the floor, will fall to the floor, that we'll be covered in your words, Father, in your actions, Father, that everything we do will breathe you, God. Everything we do will be filled with your love, with your truth, Father. May we step in everything that you've done and that you've taught us to do, Father. We just thank you, Jesus, for who you are, God. May you continue to teach us, Lord. May you teach us, God. May you teach us how to step out the boat. May you give us that one word that we need, God, even if it's without direction. And may you teach us to love one another, even though we're different, but we're in the boat together, Father. So I thank you, Jesus, that we can trust you and our confidence is in you and you alone, no matter how many times our eyes have gone sideways. You have always picked us up. You have always been with us, and you will always see us, Father. So I thank you that today we make a commitment, God, each one of us, a commitment to step out the boat in whatever capacity that looks, Father, knowing that you're guiding us, knowing you've got us, and may we be consistent, God, in our walk, even when we feel like we can't walk. May we cry out. In your name we pray. Amen.